everybody, and welcome to the fourth episode of Inventors Inventions, an electromusic.com radio show. I am your host, Les Hall, also known as Inventor on the Forum, and I have a lot of good things to talk to you about today. We'll be discussing a new computer that I purchased with a patent royalty check that I received, the audio routing that I'm doing on that computer, and hopefully we can have time to talk about some new projects other than what I've been doing myself. We have the ambiophonic processor, which is Howard's project, Dio's board, and the Looney board to talk about. And then, at around one hour from now, Bill Manganiello is going to be here, State Machine, and I'm going to do an interview with him. So, a whole lot of talking going on today. Now, what happened over the holiday break was shortly before Christmas, I received a letter that contained a check. It was a patent royalty check for $1,000 from a company that I used to work for. And that really made my Christmas, I gotta tell you. It was gonna be a Scroogey Christmas. Very Scroogey. But it turned out to be a joyful Christmas after all, because I used the money to buy basically a studio. I bought a Mac Mini computer and a pair of wireless headphones with a microphone. And I've been configuring the computer to do the radio show for the past week. Thankfully, I got some help from Edison Rex, who sent me some articles on the web. And I was able to get Soundflower working with Nicecast, with Line-In, with Ventrilo. And this is going to enable me to do live interviews now. So we have the live interview capability, which is just fantastic. And the Mac has changed a lot since I bought my eMac 5 years ago. It's got a better look and feel. The applications work together better, or it seems that way. All sorts of little details, like the calendar icon updates its date automatically, whereas it didn't do that on the eMac, and lots of features have been added to this operating system. I really like it. I really do. So everybody always asks me, whenever I say I got a patent royalty check, they say, well, what's that all about? How'd you get into that kind of situation? So I tell them about it, and I'll try to keep the story short. Basically, when I was in grad school, I had the opportunity to work on a research project doing a chip design for a medical sensor. And years later, after I'd graduated and worked for a while, they said, well, our research project is going to become a company now. How would you like to come and join the company and help get it off the ground? So they approached me, and I accepted and worked for them for a couple of years. And we patented some of the inventions, and that's what I get my royalties from. And then people always say, well, that's interesting. But what are the inventions? And it's really one main one, a few different spin-off patents from it. But it's an injectable medical sensor that measures radiation or temperature in a cancer patient's tumor. Primarily, the radiation sensor is used. And it's a little bitty gizmo with a little miniature computer on it and an antenna and a tuning capacitor and a sensor and a sensor interface, all done very miniature chip-only format and flip chip kind of stuff. And then there's an external reader, and the reason the device is useful is because currently when they treat a cancer patient with radiation externally applied, they put a sensor on the skin to measure the radiation, and then they use computer models to estimate how much radiation the tumor might receive. However, this process is inaccurate. So what the new sensor allows is an actual reading of how much radiation has actually met with the tumor. So it's kind of a thing that can increase the accuracy of treatment, and there are other applications for it. So the company is still going strong after 10 years, and they sent me a patent royalty check. So enough about that. I don't like to talk about that too much because it's not a big deal. Let's see. Next up, I'd like to talk about the ambiophonic processor. Let's take a look at the electromusic.com website. Go to the main page, electro-music.com, and on the left, you'll see a news item called Ambiophonic DSP VST Plugin Now Available. And what this is a piece of software that will plug into any VST host on a PC, and it will process your stereo audio files in a way that enhances the spatialization. I don't really understand how it works myself, although I did help a little bit with some of the early algorithm coding in Chuck, but I didn't really understand how it works, and it's improved and changed a lot since I worked on it. So what you do with ambiophonics is you take your speakers, and instead of spacing them at 120 degrees apart, you move them in closer. You place them at 60 degrees apart. And then you send your stereo audio that you're playing into this VST, and it processes your audio and then sends it out to your speakers modified in such a way that your spatialization will be improved when you listen to the speakers. The reason that the spatialization is not so hot with ordinary 120 degree stereo is because you got to think about the sound waves traveling through space. As they reach your ears, they travel at the speed of sound, and first, like the right side, the right speaker output strikes your right ear and gets heard, And then that same sound travels around your head to your left ear and gets heard over there, only lower in signal strength, lower in amplitude. And there's a slight delay as the sound travels through a few inches of air, and this causes a comb filter effect. And the same thing happens with the left channel. The sound reaches your left ear first and your right ear second, and it creates a comb filter effect, which is detrimental to the spatialization of the sound. So it's as if you took your stereo, put it through a comb filter, and then listen to it in headphones. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't want to mess up your sound by running a comb filter. So it's something inherent in stereo that's undesirable. And the ambiophonic setup either reduces or eliminates that. I don't know which. Let's read what it says in this news item. Hold on a second. Let's see. Howard is here. Howard has entered the chat room, and he tells me, Les, it's 20 degrees saturation, not 60 degrees. 20 degrees separation, I would think, is the word he was meaning to use. So, correction there. The speakers are very close, only 20 degrees apart, not 60 degrees. So I was incorrect on that. So anyway, let's talk a little bit more about the ambiophonic DSP VST plugin. It says in the article, Ambiophonic DSP VST plugin by Robin Miller and Howard Moskowitz, now available at electromusic.com store at an introductory price. Click here. And then the article starts. I'll just read the intro of it. Ambiophonic DSP is a very powerful yet very affordable effect VST. Steinberg Gumbel, plug-in that dramatically boosts performance listening to stereo audio. Using Winamp or any VST host in your PC, Ambiophonic DSP renders sound previously unheard, awaiting in your recording collection. Ambiophonic DSP takes stereo to an entirely new level. So, there you have it. It's right there, and it's listed in the store as a $50 item. So for something that can really transform your entire audio collection into an enhanced, spatialized listening experience, that seems to be quite a value. So that was the ambiophonic processor. Next up, let's go in the forum and look at another thread. We're on the front page right now. So let's click on the forum button in the upper left corner. I'll check the chat room, see if anybody said anything. Nope. And now we see the vast array of hierarchical sub-forums arranged here before us. And I'll call your attention to the Lunetta sub-forum. Scroll down until you see a section labeled DIY hardware and software. And then below that we have all these forums, or sub-forums you might call them. And we have the eChuck forum we'll be going to in a minute. We also have a forum that says Lunetta's Circuits Inspired by Stanley Lunetta. So let's click on that. And then currently, the very first thread is this Looney Board thread. It says Looney Board 1, General Purpose CMOS Oscillator PCB. Preview coming soon. So let's click on that. You can click on the little one for page one, or you can click on the title of the thread, and it'll take us there. And here we have the author of the thread is Bebob. He says his location is Cleve. I guess that means Cleveland. And here's what he has to say. I'm working on a series of CMOS Luneta-ish building block PCBs, which I'm hoping to offer for sale shortly. Here's a preview of the first one. 6 oscillators based on a 4106, 4 more gated oscillators on a 4093, a digital ring mod on a 4011, and an LM386 audio amp, plus some utility mixer arrays and a prototyping area. Anyone interested? And then he posts a picture of the board in his schematic CAD system, PCB CAD system. He shows a picture of the PCB. And you can see all the chips that he mentioned, and external resistors and capacitors that hook things up. There's a little prototyping area. Here on the lower left is the LM386 with bypass capacitors, and up on the upper left is the 4011 that he's using for the ring modulator. I'm not sure how that works. I don't recall what a 4011 is. But the quad gated oscillator I'm familiar with, you just use a NAND gate to make a Schmitt trigger inverter oscillator, and then one of the inputs is the feedback and the other input turns the oscillator on and off. So you can put switches on it and touch the switches to turn the oscillator on and off, or you can make, say, this another oscillator like one of these 4106s run kind of slow as an LFO and use it to gate the 4093 oscillators. So a lot of possibilities, a lot of musical possibilities on this little Luneta circuit board. So people express some interest. Here we have someone nicknamed General Electric. Hey, I may take one or two depending on the price and shipping cost to Germany. And the old Deno G. Ray, who I met at electromusic.com festival, EM09. Dan, or Deno, his nickname is Deno G. Ray. I too could be interested. Synthmonger asks a question. And DG Tom pipes in here. And he says, and with 10 oscillators, it would make a lot more sense to me, at least, to use a quad exclusive OR chip. 4 ring mods, heck yes. The only other thing that occurs to me is the amp proto section. The proto area is a little small. It would only just fit another 14, 16 pin dip, right? I think it would be neat to make the 386 amp a separate board and expand the proto section to a nice big space for adding one or even two more ICs. And then he says some other things. So people are suddenly very excited about this particular invention here, this Looney Board invention. Enough so that they're making suggestions for the design to the author of the board. So that's really cool. And here's Air Cyzone critiquing the choice of the LM386. I would use an LM386 myself, but he has some reservations. And Bebop is addressing the comments about the LM386. And someone named Ezekiel comes in and says, "Cool board for a starter Lunetta synth." And he's right about that. "As for what else, I imagine a world of sounds not based on complex, scientifically accurate circuits. I imagine a synth exploration process that isn't solely about schematics, but more about combining circuits and making music. By music, I personally mean noise." And then he starts talking about the project more specifically. "I imagine there could be a series of smaller boards, less than 2 by 2 inches, for circuits like the ones discussed through the Lunetta forum. Here are what has caught my attention lately." And then he lists some stuff. He lists about 15 different little sub-circuits that he would like to see made on small circuit boards. Analog CMOS stuff, pseudo-FM, pseudo-random digital noise generator, let's see, ring oscillators, output filters, distortion, fuzz, and clip effects. Envelope VCA, R2R networks, routing switching matrix. And he says, "Actually, I'd be excited to see any PC boards for easy to build circuits using standard CMOS parts. Harder than just chip to faceplate, but easier than DIY modular with its rare components and gazillion parts." So, some good comments from Ezekiel, lots of details about what he'd like to see. And seeing this as a whole new beginning for Lunetta's, really, pre-wired circuit boards that do simple Lunetta functions. And I can see that, it makes a lot of sense. Glacial 23 makes a comment here, and then I pipe in and start talking about my E-Chuck Lunetta breakout boards. I didn't mean to detract from his thread by doing that, but I did say that stuff. Basically, you remember me talking about the E-Chuck Lunetta boards in an earlier Inventor's Invention show, and if you're listening to the recording, you can check the older recordings for discussion of these circuit boards. I believe the third show has some discussion of them. Let's check the chat room real quick. And Shane is talking about his spaceship. Everybody knows Shane has a spaceship. That's how he can do Spaceport 09 on Fridays. And Shane makes a little alien sign. He's got to fix his hyperdrive, apparently. Hyperdrive's busted on Shane's spaceship. Okay, so much for those inventions. And now someone's, Scott starts talking in Star Trek terms. Can't get it past warp 8.5. Let's see. So without getting into the E-Chuck Lunetta boards too much, they're basically, I'm holding a stack of them right now. Little postage stamp size boards designed to hold one chip, and all of the discrete components such as resistors and capacitors that might be associated with that chip. You could build pretty much all the circuits that Ezekiel mentioned on one of these, on some of these E-Chuck Lunetta breakout boards. I sold about 60 of them. I had 100 of them made, and I think I sold 65, because I've got about 35 of them left, and I'm going to be using them to build circuits for myself. So, unless somebody wants to buy some, then I'll sell them. But that's that, and that's a different thing from the Looney board that we're talking about. And there were some more comments about the Looney board. Let's go to page 2. Chutney Farmer asks if they're available yet. He doesn't want to miss out on one. Bebop replies, "Boards are here. I'm finishing the documentation and working out some logistical bugs before I'm ready to take orders. Give me another week. I want everything to go smoothly. Thanks, Bebop." Terrific. And then some other people make some more comments. A100 user is interested. And so forth, and that brings us to the end of the thread. So, there we have the Looney board. Looney board 1. General purpose CMOS oscillator PCB. Very interesting project. And it is an electromusic.com invention, so it's one of the things that's appropriate for Inventor's Invention Show. Okay. Now let's, we're going to look at Dio's board. That's the next thing we're going to talk about. And I don't know what else I'm going to talk about after that, because I don't have enough material to fill up a whole hour. I've got another half hour left, but let's get to Dio's board, and maybe it'll take more time than I think. Okay, at the very upper left corner it says electromusic.com in big letters. Click there, and you'll go back to the home page of the site. We could have navigated more quickly, but I think it's better not to confuse people. Let's just start from the very top and descend into the forum to find the thread about Dio's board. So, in the upper left, there's says front page articles, radio, media, forum, links, and store. Click on forum. Then we see all the subforums, and we scroll down to the DIY hardware and software section. In there we have a forum called E-Chuck Miniature Modular Synthesizer System. Let's click on that, and we go to E-Chuck, the E-Chuck subforum. This, as I've mentioned to you before, is my little corner of electromusic.com, where I post information about projects that I'm working on, some of which have succeeded, one or two have not. Pretty much looking at some good results nowadays. Here we see a thread that says, "Something I have been working on," by a fellow whose nickname is spelled D-I-O-I-O-I-B. I just call him Dio. I think his real name is Brian. Click on that link, "Something I have been working on." And let's check the chat room real quick here. People are just playing around. Somebody's talking about Klingons. And they're playing with the robots. Everybody's making robots these days in the chat room. Chat room robots that do things like math and quotes and remember links for you. And they just installed a dictionary. So, strange things going on in the chat room. By the way, before we start going through this thread, does anyone in the chat room have any questions about the stuff I've been talking about so far? I know you have a 30-second delay, so I'll just keep talking while I wait until you comment in the chat room about whether you have anything else to say. Let me have a sip of water here. Not easy to talk for an hour straight. OCP mentioned Snow Leopard. Rob has missed the show so far. Shame on you, Rob. Howard asked me, Les, why does your mic sound so much better? Well, Howard, the reason is because I paid $85 for a Logitech wireless headset with microphone. It's really primarily for games or also for audio purposes. They sell a lot of them for gaming, and it's got a really good quality microphone, and I think it's a noise canceling microphone or something like that, because it's got openings on the front side and the back side, and it's a really cool headset. I would recommend this Logitech headset. The microphone swivels up and down. It has an on-off switch. It lasts for 6.5 hours on a charge. And you can charge it in 2.5 hours. And it comes with this wireless USB, wireless USB device. And a little stand that holds the wireless device anywhere you want to put it, so you can extend your range. And I just put this thing on, I play my music, and I walk around the apartment, do cooking in the kitchen or whatever I want to do, and I can hear my music. I can adjust the volume of the music on the headphones by pressing up or down on the right hand side. It's a really well made set of headphones. So that's why. Dr. Steve mentions, Les, my 12-year-old is listening to the show, but he is not reading chat. So what else? Scott says I'm sounding good. Paul says it's a new mic boom thing. Howard says lots less noise than before. Okay, any other questions before I move on? I guess not. No one else is asking stuff. So, Something I Have Been Working On by Dio. Let's read what Dio has to say. The first thing you notice when you scroll down a little bit is this picture. He's got a photo of the circuit board that he's working on. It's got surface mount, a lot of surface mount components. Then one thing you notice is some footprints for some USB jacks. So that's good news, USB. And here's what Dio has to say. I have been working on a development board for the last few months on and off, which will use a PIC32 as the core, integrates a 32-bit DAC, and has headers for LCD 64-button matrix, like a monome, one general I/O, micro SD slot, MIDI in-out, and USB. It will include off-board RAM and EEPROM. Project is almost ready for prototype. Oh, Dr. Steve has asked, how much does the headset cost? It was $79.95 plus tax. I paid $85 for it, Steve. And Antimon is excited about the 64 buttons. So, that's an exciting sounding board. What got my attention was the PIC32 as the core and the USB interface. And what happened was Dio came into the chat room and started talking about his board. And I thought that was really cool. And I told him about my Boolean sequencer and my Carplus strong board, and he said, well, let me code up a Boolean sequencer in the G2 demo software. So I proceeded to describe to him how to build one. And Howard wants a link to the topic. Let me post that for him. There we go, in the chat room, a link to the topic. Oh, and Airlock posted it anyway. So, he implemented the Boolean sequencer within about half an hour of me guiding him in the chat room, and before long he had a audio sample of his Boolean sequencer for us to listen to. And it sounded really cool. It was a really neat song. I don't have it for you. It was just something he played for us. But it showed the guy really has talent and ability, that he can design these circuit boards and work on software projects and do other kind of stuff. So I was pleased to meet Dio. And Dio continues, I'll read the remainder of this first post. Inventor and I were talking on the chat, and he mentioned that the eChuck forum might be the right place to post this. I have been thinking of integrating a DSP onto the board as well, although I have not decided on which one at this time. I am open to DSP, analog devices, ADSP, or others. I would like to know what everyone thinks would be the most convenient and flexible. Think Dream Synth Virtual Modular. So how about that? A virtual modular synthesizer. This could be pretty cool. And he continues, here is an image of this of the board thus far. It's just a 3D mock-up, but I have a lot of room to work with. Unfortunately, I don't believe I can make the board the same size as the existing eChuck board due to the USB, micro SD, and MIDI headers. But let me know what you think. So would the community be interested in something like this as secondary? And secondly, do you have any questions, desires, or concerns? And I replied, describing the events in the chat room. And Dan Levin, who used to go as Ant-Man, says, welcome to eChuck, as Les said. Dang, that is one impressive project. I'm all over this. As far as DSP selection goes, I'm not much help there. I can only suggest to work with what you are most comfortable with, even if it's not the latest and greatest. With all the features you list, I don't think it's a bad thing. It doesn't fit Les's other board's footprint. We'll make do. So cool, a nice greeting from Dan. And Dio makes comments, and I made some comments. Magman says something. Let's see what Magman says. Oh, yeah. I think it might be worth posting a link back to this forum in the developer's corner, as this board looks to have more general focus than just eChuck. I must admit, I found out about this board from Matrix Synth, as I don't currently have a lot of interest in Chuck, but I think this board could be of interest once I get some of my other projects built. Regards, Magman. So yeah, the board is I guess we could say it's part of eChuck at the moment. We're going to see if we come up with standards as to board size or power supply regulation and things of that nature. Apparently Dio needs 5 volts and 3 volts, and he's not going to put regulators on the board. So we'll have to provide power some other way, and I can do that with eChuck boards. Anyway, scrolling down in the thread, we see a comment from Ruben De La Costa. Looks like a very cool project. Wow. I can't help because I don't know anything about DSP programming or PIC, but I'll keep an eye on this post. Good luck, Ruben. One suggestion, wavetables. Let's check the chat room and see. Dr. J, welcome to the chat room. And DoomTube is here. Hello, DoomTube. Welcome to the show. Okay. Dio replies, agreed, wavetables are a must. And I guess I'll continue to read the thread a little bit more, because it's 5:41 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States. And I know that Bill will get home at about 5:45. And then he's got to settle in, boot up his computers, and log into Ventrilo. And by the way, Ventrilo is our software that we use for voice chat. And I have Ventrilo wired through audio routing into Nicecast. Basically, this setup, what I didn't mention to you, let me take a break from that thread, Dio's thread, and mention to you what I was going to say at the beginning of the show, while I still have time, that the headset that I purchased has a microphone that goes into an analog-to-digital converter, and at that point, the signal becomes digital. It then travels through a radio link of USB wireless into the Mac Mini that I bought through the USB interface, where it gets digitally routed to the various software components, digitally sent to the server, digitally sent to you, and then whatever software you're using sends the digital signal to your sound card, where a single digital to analog conversion is made and the signal goes out to your speakers or your headphones. And the result is that only one analog to digital conversion and one digital to analog conversion needs to be made for the entire setup to work. Everything else is pure digital quality. And the quality we use is 128 kbits per second, MP3 files. So those are not perfect, but they're still quite good. So, basically, when I bought this computer and this headset to create a digital mixer situation, I was able to set things up such that there's no analog noise, there's no analog circuitry processing the signals, there's no analog mixing, no pots, no any of that stuff. Everything is done purely digitally, and this gives you the best listening quality that's possible on my budget. So a nice setup. I'm really happy with it. Okay. Now, Dio had, back to Dio's thread. Dio says, agreed, wavetables are a must. The idea right now is to keep the hardware closed, but the software firmware development open, as this is a board that I am designing for my own personal DSP and synthesis explorations. As my code base grows, so will the communities. The key focus is keeping the development board low cost, say around $100 to $150. That's US dollars. But the more I put on this board, the higher the price gets. So keeping an FPGA off the board might be the way to go right now. But the PIC32 and DAC is a must. I agree. Additionally, with the new PIC32 DSP library, this project is really looking promising. And then he talks about some other stuff. And Moho Yoho has entered the chat room. We don't see him around that often. You see him on the forum once in a while. Hey, Moho Yoho, how you doing? Hope you're tuned in. Welcome to the chat room. And speaking of the chat room, oh my gosh, there's 21 people in the chat room. Let's see who's here. We have Blue Hell, Edison Rex, Dougbert, Mono, Stroby, Airlock, Antimon, Dave Scrog Productions, DoomTube, Dr. J, Inventor, Jovian Pikes, Modulator ESP, Moho Yoho, Mosk, Mr. Cold, Music Man, OCP, Rob Soul, Shanester, and W. Monk. Everybody's here in the chat room. And Paul mentions, hi, Mark. So apparently Moho Yoho's real name is Mark. Hope he doesn't mind me saying that on the radio. Let's see here. Toy Box makes a comment. Like this idea a lot. I can see it growing fairly large. If you can get it to catch on, the more people, the more ideas equal more code. Makes me wish I knew more about coding than I do. But as for hardware, I think some assignable pots and a spot on the board for more optional IOs might be nice. That's Toy Box's comment. And Dio replies, and things go back and forth for a while. So, let me type in the chat room, let's see. Any questions, folks? We're still waiting for Bill to arrive, and we'll start the interview with Bill as soon as he gets here. And for the moment, I'm out of material. What am I going to talk about for 12 minutes until Bill gets here? Why don't I talk about the Carpless Strong boards? I found a mistake. Let me get the Carpless Strong board here. I have one out. In the upper right hand edge, along the top edge of the Carplus Strongboard, are two footprints for Shane wants me to do monk chants. I'm not doing monk chants today, Shane. So there are two footprints for these 1/8-inch jacks. And the 1/8-inch jacks receive signals and send signals to and from a computer that control the board. This is for the eChuck brick implementation of the board. And that's one thing that I don't know if I had talked about before. OCP wants me to read the Bible in Latin again. That's what I did. We just had a New Year's concert. Excuse me, sorry to cough you out there. I bet that's loud on this microphone. We just had a New Year's Eve concert. I was on at 1:30 in the morning my time. And I had an hour, and I didn't have any sound capabilities except voice, kind of like right now, because I have Ventrilo set up. When I try to run my iTunes, I get really horrible feedback noise, and I have no idea why that's happening. So I can't play music for you yet. And so I'm doing all vocals. So for New Year's Eve, I had nothing to do with vocals, so what did I do? I threw in a little echo, I mean not echo, reverb, to make it sound like I was in a cathedral. And I did monk chants, I read the Bible in Latin. I read Genesis chapters 1 through chapters 5. Chapter 5. Anyway, on those two 1/8-inch jacks on the eChuck Carplus Strongboard, the holes are too big. They're in the right place, they're lined up right, but they're too big. And that's a bummer. So, that's a little bitty mistake. Fortunately, it's very easy to solder your way around it, so nobody's going to have any problems with it. But it's a mistake I'll have to correct for the next version of the board. So, anyway, that's what that's all about. And I haven't found any other mistakes yet. What I'm going to be doing with the Carplus Strongboard is I'm going to take my prototype. I've got it right here in front of me. And it's the working prototype of the Carplus Strongboard. I'm going to take all the parts off of it and put them onto one of these Carplus Strong board blanks that I have. And I won't have all the parts that I need, but I'll have a lot of the parts, and then I'll order the missing parts and put it all together and run it and put it in a box and get it to the next customer. So, or I might keep the first one for myself and build customer boards after that. But anyway, that's enough about Carplus Strong. What else can I talk about? Well, I started working on a space music program. Shane invited me to the Ambient 3 performance, in which I would do an hour of ambient music. And this is a new venture for me. I've never worked with ambient music before. I did write one program. In fact, why don't we go there now? We've got time to kill. Bill's not here yet. He's probably racing through the streets of New York trying to get home so he can get to this interview, because he's supposed to be here within 6 minutes. So why don't we go to that post in Shane's forum. Go to the top of the page and click on electromusic.com, then click on forum. Oh, Shane wants me to play it. Oh, okay. All right, hold on. Then scroll down until you see a section called Artists. And if you look in the section called Artists, you'll see a sub-forum called Shane Morris. Click on Shane Morris. And I see we have 17 listeners. That's good news. Lots of people listening. Everybody ready for Inventor's Inventions and Bill Manganiello's State Machine, the soldering musician tonight. Tonight, for those who just tuned in, we will have an interview with Bill Manganiello, the soldering musician. I will interview him, and he might interview me a little bit. We'll see how that goes. Okay, let's see here. Now, here's the Shane Morris Forum. And I created a thread called Space Music in the style of Shane Morris near the bottom of the Shane Morris Forum. Click on Space Music. Now, I'm going to try something here. All right, here's what I wrote. Let's post our Shane-like music in this thread. If you make space music and you would like to share it with us, post it here. This is a song I created using a space music program that I wrote in Chuck. It uses a banded waveguide model and a roadie model, both piped into an effects chain. I'm attaching the Chuck file as well for your curiosity. When I played it for Shane, he said it was good enough for him to play on his show, so I think I did a good job on it. Enjoy. And we see it's been listened to 24 times. Shane mentions, he says, I'm honored, Les, listening now. He says, Les, I like your use of tonal relationships in this piece a lot. Very nice balance between sound and silence. You should make more. And will I play the piece? Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if I can. To be honest with you, I have never tried this audio setup with playing music off of the forum. I know for a fact that if I were to open up iTunes now and press play, it would start playing a song and you would hear the most horrible feedback noise you ever heard in your life, wailing at you at huge volume, which would be very unpleasant. So I'm not going to do that. And similarly, I don't know, I haven't tested my software. I don't know if some music that comes from Firefox by clicking on the download button here will destroy my setup similarly. And I don't want to have to reboot and restart and have get dead air for about 2 minutes while I set everything up again. So I'm not going to play the song. But if you followed me, you got to the thread and you can play the song. So anyway, I'm working on this space music program, and I have a lot of really good stuff that I'm planning to put in it, and some I've already got in it. I put some wind, and I put some thunder, and I put some rain, and I put volume controls and strength controls on those, so we can have gentle rolling thunder or really intense thunderstorm, and the rain can be light or heavy, soft or loud, and so on. And it makes quite a storm. So I did that. And then I took this space music piece, which you can see I also posted the Chuck file. For the Space Music 6.ck program that I wrote. It's been viewed 11 times. And you can click on that download button and it'll open up the Chuck program in a text window. Well, I took the two of the three musical instruments that were in that Chuck program and put them in my Space Music program. So that's done. And the next thing is just today, I was working on a Boolean sequencer class. I'm going to make a Chuck class that's a Boolean sequencer that anyone can copy and use. And that way we don't have to keep rewriting Boolean sequencers. We can just use this class. So that's pretty cool. And I started working on a Car Plus Strong class. And I'll put that together. And then I'll be able to set up Boolean sequenced instruments as part of the space music. And I'll build up a palette of those and be able to launch them and make my space music. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's check the chat room. Moho Yoho is heading out. Away he goes. No other relevant comments in the chat room. It's 6:01 and Bill Manganiello is not here. So what do I talk about? Well, I could talk about that invention of mine in more detail. Oh, I know what I could talk about. Why don't I talk about, since Bill is late, and I have no other material scheduled that's of electromusic nature, why don't I talk about a couple of inventions, one or two, that I created that basically went nowhere. They never got popularized or picked up, and one of them actually was met with a lot of criticism from the community. I could not believe how harsh engineers can be when you do something that isn't perfect. It's amazing to me. But anyway, that was an oscillator that I created. Someone sent me a PM asking if I still had the oscillator PDF file. So I sent it to him and told them they treated me very badly when I published this, but it does contain the oscillator. I did create it, but apparently it was created a long time ago by someone else. That's the way it goes with inventing a lot of the time. That's what happens. You got to take a risk that what you've come up with has been done before. But anyway, I made this op-amp oscillator that is based on the relaxation oscillator, but it produces a sine wave output, which is really nice. And I enjoyed working on that for a while, and I wrote it up and published it and got a lot of criticism, so I stopped working on the project. But anyway, there was another one. I did talk about it on Electromusic, but I wouldn't know where to find the posts, the thread. But I talked about it about 2 years ago. This was a nearly ideal diode. What I came up with was, see, in a switching power supply, you always have this diode, and the diode has a voltage drop across it, 0.7 volts for an ordinary diode, as low as 0.2 volts for a Schottky diode, but always some voltage. And even a Schottky, when you start running a lot of current through it, it drops more than 0.2. So what happens is the efficiency of any switching power supply is limited by this diode, because the diode gets hot and dissipates heat. Not a lot of heat, maybe 10% of the overall, well, that's a lot, 10% of the overall heat that's dissipated by the switching power supply, or 5% or something like that. And if you ever take apart a PC power supply or download a schematic of a PC power supply, at least the way they used to make them, I don't know about today, but you have your AC voltage coming in from the wall, and it gets converted into a DC voltage. There's a step-down transformer. It gets converted into a DC voltage, and then a switching power supply switches that DC voltage into the required plus 5 and plus or minus 12 volts, and I think you have minus 5 as well, that are output from the power supply. And that switching power supply has a diode in it. Well, the trend, the idea that people have been working on for some time is to replace such diodes with MOSFETs. Because these days they have special power MOSFETs, such as the HEXFETs from International Rectifier, which have very low RDS on, resistance from the drain to source when the MOSFET is switched on. And a MOSFET looks like a resistor when it's switched on. So the idea is that what they'd like to do is make a chip that looks at the voltages and currents that are happening, and as a result of them, switches the MOSFET in such a way that less power is dissipated by the MOSFET than would be by the diode, obviously. Very simple. And Mr. Cold Cody has entered the chat room. Welcome, Mr. Cold. So, long story short, what I came up with was a transistor circuit, an op-amp circuit, and, a transistor circuit and an op-amp circuit that are two implementations of an automatic switcher for the diode. And so what you do is you stick this MOSFET in place of the diode, and you put a couple of transistors and a couple of resistors in a particular circuit configuration, and then the diode the MOSFET actually acts like an ideal diode, and it switches and it dissipates a lot less power. And I built a prototype in a suitcase, and I tested it, and it worked, and it dissipated lower power than the diode did. So I was really pleased with that, and I applied for a provisional patent, but the funding source that was going to pay for the patent pulled out, so I never patented it, and it became public domain knowledge after a year, because you only have a year after you file a provisional patent to actually patent it. So that's what happened. So the invention is not something I would pursue anymore, because I don't own it. The public owns it. But that's another invention on Inventor's Inventions that we can talk about. And I am out of material. And Bill is not here yet. Oh boy. Let's check the bang radio command. Exclamation point radio. And we have 16 listeners. Hello, 16 listeners. How are you doing? Hope you're enjoying the show. Edison Rex says he's moving to Mars next week. So if you have any boxes... oh no, he's using bang quote. If you type... Oh, Shane is doing it. Shane is typing in bang quote. And Edison Rex's bot is issuing quotes. So people in the chat room are playing around with the scripts. So I typed in, okay folks, I need questions. Out of material. Can you please stop playing with the bot and help me out here? I'm in a pickle. I've got no more material, and Bill's not here. I was going to interview Bill. Would anyone else like to be interviewed? I can't play music, W. Monk. You want me to chant? Okay, I'll chant. Oh, yeah. Edison Rex says, talk about the radio shows. Okay, let's do that. Let's talk about the radio shows. Going back to electromusic.com's main page and scrolling way down to the bottom, well, near the middle, really, we have our info section. On the left-hand side, new Electromusic streaming radio schedule. Electro Radio now hosts regularly scheduled streaming radio programming, featuring live performances, recorded music, interviews, demos, and more. So, let's read off the schedule. On Monday, from 2200 to 2400 GMT, we have Edison's Electronic Review with Edison Rex. And Edison Rex plays music. He's got a lot of music that people gave him in form of CDs at electromusic.com festival EM09, and he's got a lot of music that he recorded from the festival, and he puts that together with interviews of that he made during the festival, and pieces together a wonderfully entertaining show for us on Monday nights. So that's Edison's Electronic Review. On Tuesdays, on the 1st and 3rd of each month, which is tonight, from 2200 to 2300 GMT, we have Inventors Inventions with Les Hall. That's the show you just listened to, or you're listening to right now. And basically, I cover inventions from around the forum, and I talk about things that I've been working on, things that other people have been working on, and we have a number of different projects with differing amounts of involvement with electromusic.com that people start threads about and develop these products and share them or sell them to other members. So we have a lot of activity going on, and Inventors Inventions is intended to bring you the best of this activity. Okay. Also on the first and third Tuesday of each month, immediately following Inventors Inventions from 2300 to 0100 GMT, we have The Soldering Musician with State Machine. That's Bill Manganiello, who is late for his interview. I hope he's okay. We hope Bill is fine. We don't know why Bill is late, but normally he has the soldering musician show at this time. And let me check and see. I still see no Bill. Still no Bill. But Bill plays high energy music and chip music and all kinds of really intense, really cool stuff. My favorite is the Neo Rev song, Oh No. Oh No, Oh No. Everybody likes that song. So, on Wednesdays, from 2300 to 0100 GMT, we have Jez or Rob's Adventures in Sound with Jez Creek or Rob Soul. And they alternate weeks. Every other week, Jez or Rob will do a show, and it lasts for at least an hour. And it's really good exploratory music. They each have their own style. Jez does some awesome space music, and he does paid gigs and stuff playing his space music, and makes albums and all that. And Rob is a tremendously talented person as well. He does some fascinating explorations. I know one time Rob had written some software that looked at an image and converted it into music. I thought that was really fascinating. And then we have our Friday night lineup. On Fridays from 2100 to 2300 GMT, we have Edison's Ephemera with Edison Rex. And Edison Rex comes up with a 2-hour show every week. I don't know how he does it. And he's got a clay sequencer and some keyboards. He's a keyboard player, and he likes to play with thunder and birds, rainstorms, and lots of field recordings. And I've even heard him do a little space music himself. So that's Edison's Ephemera. And then following Edison's Ephemera on Fridays from 2300 to 0100 GMT, we have the Les Hall Show with Les Hall. And that's my show. Unlike Inventor's Inventions, I generally play music, or recently I did an interview with Howard on the show, on the last show. And I used to do the Chuck Show for a while, and then I decided to include other music besides Chuck music. And then I decided to do a game show, and the game show was a lot of fun. And then I came up with the idea of doing a washing machine-like show called The Insane Show. Oh, Rob didn't write that program, he just used it. Oh, okay. Well, anyway. So The Insane Show, and I was doing so many different weird, crazy variety shows that Paul came up with the idea, why don't we just call it the Les Hall Show instead of changing it every week, changing the title all the time. So now we have the Les Hall Show. It's a variety show. I do different things. I'm going to have to figure out how to play music, because I can't just do talking. But I have tested it. I can play music if I don't use Ventrilo, if I don't do an interview. So much for that. And then after the Les Hall Show on Fridays, from 0100 to 100 GMT, we have Spaceport 09 with Shane Morris. And Shane plays space music. He's used to make his living from music, and he's quite an accomplished percussionist, and he does lots of really good, he's got lots of equipment and a lot of experience producing space music. In fact, Shane put out an album called Magnetosphere, and it got 1,000 downloads. So we were all excited for Shane for that. So 1,000 people are listening to his music. And by the way, I put out an album called Paranoid Schizophrenia, and it got 600 downloads. I was really happy with that. So that was on OCP's label, Ed P. OCP's net label, that is. Well, things are a little up in the air as far as the radio schedule goes, because I think I'm going to be moving the Les Hall show to Thursday night instead of Friday nights, because that way Sunshine can be on the show, and Sunshine is a lot of fun. She's an important part of the show, and she hasn't been able to make it for because of social obligations for several months now, so for a few months anyway. Probably she hasn't been on the show 3 or 4 months. So I decided to move it to Thursdays for her sake, and also this way I could run the show for as long as I want. So that's cool. And there's a possibility of other shows shuffling around, and I won't mention what that is because they're not my shows. They're somebody else's shows. It's up to somebody else to talk about that stuff. So, that is the schedule. We also have an upcoming event on January 30th. I'm not sure what the times are. I don't have a link for it. But there is our Ambient 2 performance, which will have 6 hours from 6 artists of ambient music. That'll be exciting. Okay. I heard a noise in Ventrilo. I was hoping it was Bill showing up. Bill is 22 minutes late, and I'm running out of things to talk about. So, I might just end the show. We can always start it back up again if Bill shows up. Well, let me talk to the folks in the chat room. Antimon says he loved the show, Les. Interesting and well-spoken. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. So let me see. Let me contact Paul. Paul, can you... I guess let's end the show. No Bill. So, thank you everybody for listening to Inventors Inventions. This has been Les Hall, also known as Inventor. We didn't get to our interview with Bill Manganiello, but we will hopefully catch him next week or Friday or some other time and have our Bill Manganiello interview. We hope Bill is okay. Maybe he got in a little fender bender. There's a lot of snow. Maybe he's in traffic. You know, you never know what could be happening. So thank you, everybody, and good night. Thank you, good night. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Good night. Good night, everybody.